Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Ivy League players are preparing to unionize. The NCAA told that NIL rules cannot be enforced on third-party negotiation. Thanks again, Tennessee. First, it was McDonald's bags. Now it's a lawsuit. But we'll see what's happening. And Shedeur Sanders and Arch Manning are tops of a college football NIL deal. But the real question is, who's going to be the number one draft pick in the NFL? What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or we'd like to call this one the Jerry Maguire episode, because we're going to be talking about showing me the money. So, without further ado, I'm your host, Rob, here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebasa calling out of Coastal Connecticut, and we have a special guest today from the Firsty Club, Greg Iannicelli, teammate, person that doesn't need to be named or introduced to the Ask for Football crowd. But for those of you guys that are just tuning in for the show, Greg, give us a quick rundown about yourself, you know, company stuff, what you're doing now, and we'll keep moving.
Cool. Yeah, so thanks, Rob. Thanks, Dano, for inviting me today. So West Point grad, 97, played sprint football with you, Rob, for my freshman year, played some rugby, was in companies E4 or I-4 and then E4. Mm. Served in the 3rd Infantry Division. Down at Savannah, Georgia, was an aviator. And then I served in the 110 attack battalion up in, 10th Mountain Division. After getting out after about 7.5 years, got into enterprise software. I work for a company called Mark Forbes right now. We make, 3D printing technology. So I sell, 3D printing technology to large manufacturing companies, Toyota and 3M. So yeah. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for inviting me, man. And loyal Ask for Football fan for winning.
Yeah, you might be a plank holder, man, because you've been here for a while.
We should go back through and try to figure out who are the actual plank holders, because there's like 25 guys that have been with us for a long, long time.
Yeah. And we'd love to have you on. I think this will be a great opportunity to start bringing some of the Firsty Club on. Another one of the perks for being part of the team here at As for Football. Anyway, Dano, how about you? What you got going on today?
Oh, man. I am good. I swam. Now we're recording a show. I'm happy to finally get a chance to talk about this, because it's like all the hot takes on Twitter. And I'm sitting there thinking, I want to put my hot take out there. Oh, yeah, I have a show. We can totally do that. So here we are. And I guess we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, for sure. But for those of you guys that don't know, if you like Ask for Football and want to support our coverage of Army sports and going into the 2024 season, the American Football Conference, we could use your help through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/askforfootball to learn more. There is also a link on our website. At the yearling level, you get our weekly games and locks of the week. At the Cal level, you get that plus our scouting report. And at the Firsty level, you get that plus our exclusive Firsty Club, which is our private Facebook group for our top level patrons. It's the best place to talk about Army and college sports in general, just because we're all super fans, but we keep it super, super positive. And it's a private group, so whatever happens there stays there. Nobody's going to screenshot your stuff or put it out on the street, just because those are kind of the business rules there. But also, Firsties get access to live show recordings like this one, so you can interact with us during the show. And we'll bring you on, like, randomly hit up Greg. It's his birthday today, so you guys say happy birthday to him. But, you know, he's a big time supporter of the show, and it's always nice to get an additional voice in that has a different take, because sometimes we don't always think the same. Surprise, surprise. And so that's always helpful. But to be honest, we've spent a lot of money over the past year to improve the show. We're now on StreamYard. We're using Podcastle AI to improve sound quality. We've got regular recording times so people can join us live, and all that takes money. And it's ironic because we're talking about money on this show, but that's why we need your support. Anyway, Dano, you've got a topic for today. And the first one is unionization of the Ivy League schools. You know, I know this is a topic of interest for you, so let's hit it.
Well, it's interesting because I think, you know, there was a lot of outrage when Dartmouth basketball of all college teams decided to unionize first. And this is the thing that is like a hot button issue. And it may seem strange that the first college team to unionize is an Ivy League basketball team, but when you consider that the Ivy League does not grant athletic scholarships of any kind at all, like, I think it makes a little more sense in terms of like, what are these guys after? They're probably after tuition. And we don't know what kind of NIL deals these players might be on, but like, it's Dartmouth. This is not a particularly competitive Ivy League team. They're not any nature of like, you know, making the Sweet 16 or something. I mean, are we absolutely certain that these players are going to lose money financially if this school shuts a basketball program down entirely? I mean, if you're not on scholarship, like, obviously one assumes that they want to play or they would quit, but financially speaking, it's a push. I tend to agree that student athletes probably should not be considered school employees. However, they're definitely doing work for somebody, and in many cases, the work is making money for the school. So it is fair to ask, like, who is representing their interests? You know, top players. Talking top players now, not school, not basketball players at Dartmouth, but like Shedeur Sanders, you know, guys of that caliber, they have leverage because they are freaking top players, you know, 4-star and above. But other places, like, it's not hard to imagine some of these guys having zero voice in their team, right? And their options are like play or quit, and that's all. And in a larger sense, like, this is a problem because the NCAA has been letting top athletes get exploited forever. Like, refusing to cut them in on anything at any level. And now these issues headed to court, NCAA is steady losing every case. Like, the reality is this stuff is not legislated, and more and worse, the NCAA is losing the ability to legislate, like, at a rapid pace. Anything they try to do looks like it's just going to get torpedoed, probably by Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee is ready to pay everybody and just buy the sports, which is also a negative. So the upside of a union, for whatever it's worth, is that at least you would have some kind of collective bargaining structure, and maybe through the union, you'd start to wrap your hands around it and get some kind of meaningful regulation in college sports. Right now, like, I'm not sure this union thing is going to spread. It certainly hasn't spread like wildfire or anything, but we have chaos. Like, it is the Wild West out there, and there's no structure. So something is better than nothing. And I'm not sure that the union is the way to go, but what we have right now is going to implode. Like, we can all see that. It's like the USFL, but it's college.
Yeah. Well, the train wreck is coming, man. Or yeah. Should we say the train wreck's already here, right? When you think about the number of players that are getting paid and people bouncing for, like, look at Travis Etienne, leaves Florida, goes to Georgia. Like, why? One, because he's probably going to get paid a hell of a lot more money, but two, it increases his chances of winning a national championship. And so, you know, it's free agency for college sports. And for what it's worth, I personally don't follow the NFL anymore because of free agency. You know, like, the biggest news story is Russell Wilson getting the boot from, you know, Denver going to the Steelers. But at the end of the day, who really cares? Like, it's Russell Wilson. He's terrible, right?
Well, and the union made sure he got paid.
Yeah, but that's the thing. The collective bargaining agreement and, like, the players' association is always going to be there to rep the players. And I think Absolutely. That's the most important part, is that the kids are not getting exploited. And, you know, for what it's worth, the NCAA makes $1 billion every 2 years, right? When they do their, like, hey, we put out our numbers, we made $900 million. How much are they going to make off of the NCAA tournament here in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
And so... You know, to carve out especially just a small piece of, you know, Dartmouth, like, if Dartmouth were to make it in the 16th seed in the NCAA, you know, March Madness, they'd probably get eliminated in the first round. But that's going to bring visibility to the school, and it's going to impact the overall organization. But Greg, what are your thoughts, man? Like, you're a smart guy. What would you do if you had, you know, a team and one of your players was like, hey, we're thinking about unionizing? Like, what would you think about that?
So... You know, like you, I think from an exploitation perspective, I mean, these players are, you know, putting everything on the line, right? They're taking a lot of risk playing football, and especially in the Ivies. I mean, these guys are probably not like pro prospects. So yeah, they're getting an education. They're going to move on from their, you know, their schools, and there's a great alumni association associated with those places where they can name their ticket, right? But at the end of the day, like, why were unions created in the beginning, right? To protect worker safety and stuff. So like what you were saying before the show, like, it really kind of depends on, like, how this grows and, like, what the structure is and who's going to be controlling that. And I think that there's a couple of like interesting caveats to this, right? A lot of these alumni associations, if they're going to be donors and, you know, involved in this, are they going to have all sorts of influence over the schools now? I mean, they already do, but this may even increase it more. So I'm all for, you know, the players getting taken care of. And if that means they got to come together and collective bargain to ensure that, you know, they're safe and they're getting, you know, a piece of the action, so to speak, I'm all for it. But like you guys, I mean, this is the Wild West. We don't know how this is going to shake out. There's a lot of uncertainty around this whole thing. And I think we almost need to just let it play out. It's going to take a few years, I think, before it all settles and it, and a model kind of takes over. And you know, to bring this home to like academy sports, it's like even, it's even more uncertain for academies, because it's like, we can't kind of take part in a lot of that stuff. And how are like student athletes going to, you know, get taken care of at the academies when, you know, there's this, obviously this competition amongst all the colleges. And if all these players are going to get a piece of the action, if there is some sort of unionization going on, then that's going to be really difficult for the academies to deal with.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the things you got to look at, you know, when you look at the Ivy League schools, they're all Division III. So you're not getting the, you know, the top tier caliber athletes that are going to those universities. Academic rigor being part of it as well. So you're definitely not getting some of the most elite of the elite athletes. But, you know, I'm going to toss this out there just for thought. This is a little nugget. So yeah, if they do become employees of said requisite university that they go to, do the morality clauses kick in? Because then I write a, you know, a contract that has a morality clause. So if a kid gets caught underage drinking, he loses everything, you know, and that's like the worst case scenario. Or, you know, you hear about all the crazy stuff that happens in intercollegiate athletics. So you're opening the door to a lot more scrutiny of those individuals that are going to make mistakes because they're under the age of 25.
One thing that concerns me is that, and I saw this take on Twitter today, is that, you know, schools will just say, all right, we're going to have revenue sports, you know, football, basketball, maybe baseball, hell, maybe lacrosse, depending on the school. But they'll just cut everything. You know, cut swimming, cut gymnastics, cut wrestling. Like, this is not a secret, right? I say all the time, I learned more from college swimming than I learned from college that I use on a day-to-day basis. Like, college sports teaches you to work together in a team and, like, work hard and make that goal, which that shit is every single day in the working world. Whereas I've never taken an integral in 30 years of my professional career, and I am an electrical engineer. Like, it's nuts. So
yeah.
It's extremely unfortunate that, you know, whatever's going to happen, I'm concerned for like my sport, swimming, and just generally non-revenue sports, which, you know, you play for the love of the game. Hopefully, I mean, outside a very small bandwidth, you're essentially there because you want to be there.
Yeah, that's a true statement. But I also think that universities that have the ability to maintain those programs, we'll start winning national championships. So it's not really all bad, but you would hate to see, you know, you would hate to see collectively, you know, there's 75,000 college football players, right? And that's across D1 to D3. So imagine if that number went to like 30,000, like that would be hurtful, you know? And so there's a lot of opportunity that's going to get closed off. And, you know, we know like not everybody is going to be a pro athlete. Hell, it's only like a, you know, half a percentage of the number of folks that step on the field in college get the opportunity to play, but at least they get the opportunity to play at college. And so I think we don't
understand. My daughter's on Clark University, right? D3 school. They got a swim team. You know, my daughter was not even a high school standout, but they invited her to try out because, you know, why the hell not? They were going to offer a scholarship. And, you know, we really encouraged her to go. So are opportunities like that going to go away? Because that would be a real shame. Like that would be very, very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Maybe at some level D3 becomes like a reinforced version of the club system and we just reinvent this shit all over again.
Yeah. And I think that's sadly, I think that's the direction that we're heading regardless, because it just because of the amount of dollars that are tied into it. But like I said, I saw an article the other day that popped up in my feed, of course, cause you know, I follow college football. And even the governor in North Carolina is thinking about like restructuring the way that we attack name, image, and likeness at state schools. Like why? Because there's a lot of money out there. And oh, by the way, the teams that have the cash have the ability to win. Like, I guarantee you that Ohio State spent about $20 million in NIL money in the offseason with all the people that they have coming to their university. You know, Michigan is going to have some work to do because, you know, they hit the transfer portal pretty hard as well. Same thing with Colorado. You know, so all the teams that were kind of talked about last year with relative levels of success or failure are all out there throwing cash at these players that are in the transfer portal. You know, one of the things I did here was they're going to change signing day to have three windows, right? So you're going to have a spring window, a summer window, and then a fall window. And I think if you have those three windows, that will help a lot, because then you don't have this craziness of people opting out of, you know, a bowl game when they're an integral piece in, like, what was it, the Iowa State guy last year? They ended up having to pay the kid like $30,000 to start in a bowl game. Like,
what?
Yeah. Like, that was like, those were all the stories that were coming, like, second, second and third team dudes walking away, because why not?
Well, to your point before, when you said that, you know, that the reason why you stopped watching NFL was free agency, right? Is, I mean, like you said, that's going to, I mean, we already have crazy turnover in college sports anyway, right? Because every year you got guys graduating and moving on. So now all of a sudden it's like guys are leaving every year. And like, kind of, what kind of consistency can you really have? So is that going to impact the quality of the football and the product on the field as well? Because you got guys constantly changing over, moving around. You can maybe have a few franchise guys where you're giving them enough to where they're not going to go anywhere. But like, everybody else is going to be like looking around, especially as the, like, the, if these unions start to take off and this type of thing, right? So, you know, yeah, how is this going to impact the game, and how are we going to be able to get some stability with teams again? You know, these are all great, excellent questions that we're going to have to see how it kind of shakes out.
Yeah, I'll make this one last point, and then we'll move on to our commercial. But just think of it this way. If you want to know the impact of name, image, and likeness on college sports, watch the bowl season in college football this past year, how bad majority of those games were, with the exception of the New Year's Six. And that shows you the quality of bowl games. Like literally, you probably don't want...
That would be a crying shame. You know, I love bowl season, and I watched almost none of that because none of the players were out there. I mean, even UTSA sat, that quarterback, what's his name? He didn't even play. And then he retired from football altogether.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. So when you lose the quality of the sport, like Greg was alluding to, I think that's where we're losing the bubble on it. But, Dan, we have a commercial if you guys want to toss out there.
So Craig emailed me earlier this week to tell me that his company had been bought by another company. So we are now brought to you by Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding. Craig still lives in Chicago. I'm not totally clear if New American Funding is in Chicago. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states. Friends, he's one of the biggest VA lenders in the country. He is very successful with this. He's going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal he possibly can. It's important because the mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates moving all over the place. Now is not the time to deal with somebody who's just trying to make a buck off you. You want to deal with somebody who actually cares, not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. And friends, this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at As For Football, and we're helping you get a better deal on your mortgage by introducing you to the man that you need to meet if you're trying to buy or refinance a house. And this is important. Craig does not charge lenders fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. Like $1,300. Get that money. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending at New American Funding. Check him out. Link is still on our website. I updated it just today. You can Google it. You're better off just going to askfootball.com. Push the little button. Fill out a questionnaire. It's easy. I looked at it today. I'm telling you, it's totally easy. So check it out.
Yeah. Thanks, Dano. Yeah, so... Ivy League situation is interesting, and then moves right into the other part of the discussion, which is name, image, and likeness. Everybody, if you haven't heard about it, you didn't hear it here first because it's been out for a couple weeks, but there's been an injunction placed by the court. The NCAA has an injunctive order that basically says they can't enforce NIL rules to prevent players from getting monies from third parties, including boosters. So basically, what was already the Wild West is now even more. Now it's the wild, wild west. So we open it up even more. And basically what it does is it puts it in a position where, you know, the players can negotiate. They can actually have an agent negotiate on their behalf. But the bottom line is, you know, name, image, and likeness is a thing that we're going to have to face with college sports and the impact. Who knows how it's going to be. But when you run down like the top five in college football, like legitimately, you've got Shedeur Sanders, who's worth $4.7 million. He's on the short list for the cover of the new college football game, which is not a surprise because, you know, Deion Sanders is going to help his son negotiate for everything. And, you know, kind of unfair for everybody else on the team. But, you know, when you have, you know, a marquee guy like your like primetime in your corner, you're going to be successful. Arch Manning is $2.8 million, which I found interesting. He opted out of the CFP game next year because they basically ranked him in the 80s, and he's like, F that noise, I'm out. So he didn't even opt in into the game, which I think is funny. You've got Travis Hunter, who's worth $2.3 million. Quinn Ewers at $1.9 million, and Jalen Milroe from Alabama is at $1.6 million. So, like, a lot of guys, you know, making good money. However, I think honestly the biggest benefit collectively as a group has been for female athletes in college. I mean, when you look at it, they never really had a chance to make any money beforehand. Now that it's happening, like, what I also find the most interesting though is you can't really find any information on other major sports, like, you know, the non-revenue sports, I guess would be what it was called. So like soccer, lacrosse, and tennis don't really have any numbers for name, image, and likeness, at least on the website that I look for, which kind of sucks because I think, you know, if it's not there, it's going to get there. And, you know, the ability to kind of negotiate and see who's doing what in those areas would be helpful. But again, you know, Caitlin
especially,
Clark,
especially if you're an athlete trying to figure out how much you're worth.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's nuts, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless you have like a super awesome agent, you can probably figure that out. But then again, like, who's going to work on a consignment for a college kid when I can take up a pro athlete that's on contract, you know? So we'll see how that plans out. But right now, you know, hot issue is Caitlin Clark. She's Iowa's number one basketball player, probably in the history of NCAA women's basketball. She's one of the first few five stars, start to finish, same school, that kind of thing. She's worth $3.1 million. She makes so much NIL money that the WNBA is going to have to take out a loan just to draft her because, I mean, she makes more money than, you know, basically a whole team of WNBA players in college right now. So, you know, you can argue about the pay discrepancy if you want. Bottom line is $3.1 million. That's a pretty hefty contract as far as the WNBA is concerned. And I don't see any way of her losing any of that money. I think Iowa may run the table in the NCAA tournament unless they get upset. You know, she's cruising with $3.1 million and a lot of TV time. Like, she's everywhere. Then you've got Livy Dunn from LSU. She is tops and by far and away the number one athlete in gymnastics. She's made $3.5 million. So, I mean, we'll go to Greg first, but what are your thoughts on this, man? Who do you think legitimately is benefiting from NIL? And then we'll kick it over to Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm a free market guy. So, like, when I see that, like, you know, kids are able to do what they love to do and make tons of money on that, I think it's awesome personally. You know, I don't see anything wrong with it at all. I think good for them that they're able to do this. I think that there's going to be a market for this for sure. And, you know, talk about, you know, agents, right? Yeah, we'll see how that shakes out. But like, if this is the type of money that's out there for some of the marquee players and even some of the lesser players, if they were able to do that, there's certainly going to be, you know, a new market kind of emerge from this. And there's going to be all sorts of people and maybe even like, you know, who knows, like portals and stuff. But, you know, from an alumni or booster perspective, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to think about really the downsides. If everything is like, you know, everyone knows that everyone's doing it, right? That type of a thing. You know, is there going to be, you know, the question you got to understand, you got to think about though, is like from a, from a betting perspective in Vegas or, you know, how do you prove if like a player's accepting money to like throw games and stuff? I don't know. Right. So like all of a sudden there's like this whole nother aspect of this that it could throw into the mix here of how
NFL's got that problem right now too.
Right.
Well, yeah.
You don't know what's going on. It's impossible.
Yeah, there's also a vicious rumor floating around about Vanderbilt. Those players were getting paid to throw games in the SEC. So who knows? Like, and that's a possibility when that much cash is being exchanged. Dan, what are your thoughts?
Libby Dunn's deal has spawned like an entire industry of female influencer NIL deals. I think New York Times might have done an article on this. I know I read it. I mean, she's a gymnast, but her deals, like the money she's getting, is not because she does gymnastics. It's because she's a freaking smoke show and she does swimsuit modeling, which is fine. I mean, it's not the most, it's not the most progressive way to make a career if you're a professional woman, but it's real money. I mean, for $3.5 million, I'll pose in my swimsuit too.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll probably make 3
way lower than five.
Yeah, you might make 3.5 million pennies, but that's about it if we're that lucky.
But on something, okay?
Yeah. Well, but the other part of it is ultimately at the end of the day, you know, it goes back to Greg's point is like, if everybody's doing it, how do we regulate that part of it? And I think that's the real issue. And then watching, you know, players that, like, again, I'm gonna jump on this one really quick because my soapbox is going to be enduring for this. I mean, the last couple of Heisman Trophy winners got paid to play ball. We need to give Reggie Bush his Heisman Trophy back. Like, if you're an NCAA football, like, connoisseur, just give the guy his trophy back. I think it would be good. I don't care about the national championship because, personally, I don't care for Pete Carroll, so don't give him another trophy in his trophy case. But, you know, for Reggie Bush, like, he was under the age of 25. He's a young kid. He made a young man's mistake. You know, you can reward him.
Did he even make a mistake? I mean, have we not agreed that he didn't do anything wrong collectively as a society?
Well, I mean, like, look, the dude did good stuff and Pete Carroll's his comeback. So, you know.
I mean, what do you better do? It's like, here, take this money to play the sport that you are already going to play.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I mean, at least with name, image, and likeness, the people giving you the money in the McDonald's bags are theoretically getting some advertising on the backside.
Yeah, for sure. And that generally is just a problem. I think it's legitimately one of those things that, like, it's going to work itself out, but it's going to get ugly before it gets better. And that's my fear is the ugliness of how bad things can be when money starts exchanging hands. I think part of, you know, the reason why Nick Saban retired is because, like, the overall attitude of his players, you know, is like, oh, well, you know, at least we got paid. And he was like, okay, well, if they're going to be like that, why should I stay? You know, because, again, it's about winning.
The NFL, you're going to struggle in the NFL with that attitude because everybody's a millionaire. And yet some of these guys play at a different level than some of the other guys.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing. And, you know, and before I go into the last commercial, thoughts. Who's going to be the number one quarterback picked in the draft? Because, you know, according to all the prognosticators, they say it's going to be a quarterback. I do not believe it's going to be Caleb Williams. Dano, how about you? And then Greg.
Oh, God. All I care about is the Giants. And as I have said many times, I want them to get that kid from LSU whose name is escaping me right now.
Jaden Daniel?
Rob. Yes. Thank you.
Jaden Daniel.
Do I want? Although now that they have allowed Saquon Barkley to go to the Eagles, the idea of, like, running a read option downfield passing game with Daniels with Saquon is sort of out the window. So,
yeah, that's unfortunate.
Knows. I still think Daniels is the best quarterback in the college football last season. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Convince me otherwise. I think I saw that.
Greg, how about you?
That's a great question. You sprung this. I'm not prepared, so I'm gonna say B maybe from this one.
Okay. All good. Hey, that works for me.
I'm a defense guy, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, honestly, it would be nice to see a defensive player go number one. That will never happen. You know, swirling around the top pick right now. You know, they're like, oh, JJ McCarthy is the perfect fit for Chicago. Okay. You know, then of course you've got Caleb Williams, who has like his 87 different requirements before he can get drafted. So he's got a manifesto basically that's saying, hey, look, I want, you know, partial ownership of the team. I want a 4-foot midget to come and massage my feet every game before I go out on the field. Like, it's all kinds of craziness. And it's just the absurdity of that player. You know what I mean? Like, hats off to him. He had a great season and won the Heisman Trophy. I still don't believe that he should have been the Heisman winner because look at the implosion. The second year, like, this dude's going into his senior year, all he had to do was win, and you barely, you struggled against Colorado, which is, we saw how they ended up. They were a good team early in the season, and you still struggled against them. Not a fan. Anyway, you like Army football, but hate social media. Who doesn't? Social media is terrible, except for you guys on Twitter that are watching us right now. We really appreciate you because we didn't expect to have 41 people watching the show. So thanks. But who doesn't? Social media is terrible. It's a wretched hive of scum and villainy. Instead, you can go to askforfootball.com/subscribe. Get on our mailing list. We send out one email per week that links to all that week's content. It's too easy. Sign up and you can keep up with Army sports and Ask for Football. We're going to be doing expanded coverage. There's a couple good articles from Omar on there that are focusing in on some of the AAC stuff, but also service academies. Highly recommend.
Omar is way into TV ratings. So he wants to be a TV executive and program Army onto all these TV slots, which is, his take on Notre Dame was real good. We worked on that for weeks, to be honest with you.
That's a really good article. And if you don't know what we're talking about, go to askforfootball.com/subscribe and click on the link, and then you'll get access to the website. Anyway, Dano, I know you have a favorite thing. I think this has been flying across the socials since it happened, but
yeah, well,
I'll allow you to bring
notwithstanding up. No athletes in the transfer portal and no NIL money, Army lacrosse is your number one team in the nation for the first time ever this week after losses by Denver to Yale and John Hopkins. I forget who they lost to. This season of lacrosse is wild. I definitely think what I've learned is that chemistry on your team is more important, or at least as important, as the sheer athletic talent you can buy in the transfer portal. Because Army's got some athletes, don't get me wrong. They've got some real dudes, but what counts, I think, is that those guys play together and they play for each other. It's not just a bunch of single athletes out there. So anyway, if you are a lacrosse fan, a college sports fan, an Army fan, but you're not watching Army lacrosse, like today, get on board now, like right now, today, because they are the top team in the entire nation. They're hosting a very talented Lehigh team this Saturday starting at noon. They're playing at North Carolina in a couple weeks. Like, This is already a record-breaking season, and you don't want to miss it. So, yeah, that's my favorite thing for sure.
All right. Thanks, Dano. Hey, just for the record also, like, if you don't know, like, you can go to YouTube. It's a great resource. YouTube lacrosse rules. So if you don't know anything about lacrosse, you can at least have a fundamental understanding of the game.
It's not that you take the ball in the net and you throw it in the net. You're done.
It's that simple.
It's that simple.
Lacrosse according to Dan. All right, but anyway, hey, it's been great having you guys here today. This has been the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. We talked a lot of different things, sports. Again, money being the craziest thing. One of the best parts of Service Academy football and Service Academy just in general sports is the call from NIL is not as pressurous going in. It may be on the outside trying to call players away, but right now we haven't seen too significant of an impact. We've seen a couple teams get hit, but not as graciously or as terribly as some of the other teams in college football and other places in the industry. But to wrap this thing up, I will say goodbye to you guys. Hey, it's happy birthday to Greg. Everybody wave and say happy birthday to him. It's his birthday today. He is going to be 42 for like the 16th time. And
we don't talk about that.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, but thanks for coming on, Greg. We really appreciate you joining us on the show today. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icapesa calling out of Coastal Connecticut. And for the team here at Ask for Football, College Football Roundtable, we will see you guys on the next go-around. Check this out. And if you haven't gone to askforfootball.com, you really should, because that's where all the information is, previous episodes of the show, previous episodes of the Army Football Show, and a lot of great articles from Dan, Omar, and James from Brigade Review. So if you guys are out there, we appreciate you. You joined
us. Got an Ask for Lax article today. Omar put that other one out last week, and I just finished drafting a article on the spring game that will come out sometime in the next 10 days. So Rob, if you feel like editing that thing or just reading it, give me some feedback on it. But yeah, you have that to look forward to, friends.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us. Twitterverse, askforfootball.com, and we will talk to you guys next time. Thanks.
Beat Navy.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Join the AFF team for more hot takes and college football analysis. You can sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe. Or you can follow us on all social media platforms at Ask for Football. And as always, beat Navy.